Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Meet Sumner One, your go-to source for all things office technology. We're proud to be one of the largest independently owned providers in the region with 11 strategic locations across 5 states. At Sumner One, we specialize in workplace solutions, enterprise print, production print, large format solutions, cutting-edge document technology, and more. Quality, service, and innovation. That's the Sumner One advantage. Visit us online at sumneronecom. That's SUMNER1.com. Sumner One, welcome to the one place where everything works.
Everything St. Louis Blues, as we head into the Blues Booth, presented by Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, a proud partner of your St. Louis Blues. Find your perfect new floor at our 4 convenient locations and online at boardwalkhardwood.com.
The Fast Lane and Blues analyst on Bally Sports, Jamie Rivers, is with us. Rivs, I was just telling these guys about a prank that Dan Dierdorf pulled one time on one of his teammates when the football Cardinals used to practice at Busch Stadium in the early part of the season, 100 degrees on that turf at Busch, and he grabbed some Arby's horsey sauce packets and put them under the pads of the inside of a teammate's helmet. So when the teammate pulled his helmet down, these pads pressed down the Arby's horsey sauce packets, and they burst, and the horsey sauce in 100-degree heat is going down the face of this player, and he's smelling his horse. What the hell is the smell out here? And then he realized it was him, and he took his helmet off, and he was furious. That's a great prank to pull. I just want to know if pranks are prevalent in NHL dressing rooms.
I haven't heard of any pranks that are, like, really happening. I mean, you saw lately Marc-Andre Fleury, who's a veteran player, he still pranks people and things like that, but I haven't seen a lot of stuff going on these days, Randy.
We need to have more fun. As a society, we just need to have more fun.
Thank you.
So,
I'm with you on that one. I'm all for it.
One time, we all know Mike Ryder here, who's one of the great people in the world. And BT, one time while Ryder was out of the room, loosened all the bolts on his chair. So Ryder comes back into the room, sits on the chair, and just disintegrates. Classic. And then one other, Chris Long has a million of them, but he and William Hayes go to the post office because they want to fill up James Laurinaitis' car with styrofoam popcorn, but they hear the sound of crickets in the back. And Chris, there's a guy who comes in to pick up 30,000 crickets. And Chris says to the guy as he's picking it up, he said, "Hey," obviously Chris had a lot of money, "Hey, how much would you charge me for 10,000 of those crickets?" And the guy gave him a price. And Chris said, "No, no problem at all." So Chris and William Hayes buy 10,000 crickets, and they fill up James Laurinaitis' car with crickets.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare that would be.
It was horrible, and obviously they get into the ventilation system, and they smell, and it's horrible. And he's got a deal with a dealership, and so he has to take it back and apologize, and I think Chris wound up paying off the car. But the kicker here is that the security guy brings Long and Hayes up to the office, the security guy's office, because this is on video, and they're showing these guys putting these crickets into Laurinaitis' car, and William Hayes, clear as day, with HD, William Hayes is saying, "That's not me. I didn't do that. That's not me." But yeah, Chris Long, Chris Long had the best practical jokes ever. So anyway, how you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. I'm really good. How about yourself?
We're doing great. Well, Jamie, of course, we have to talk to you about the Blues. They're not, of course, mathematically done just yet. It kind of feels like a slow burn just waiting for them to be put out for the rest of the season. I know that sounds harsh, but it's just true at this point. I guess one positive that you could look at right now is that you're turning the page for the rest of the season. You're starting to see the younger players get more ice time. What are you seeing from some of these younger guys?
Well, you're seeing some of the confidence. You know, like you look at Zach Bolduc. When he came up here, it was tough for him to find his spot within the group. And I don't mean like as a teammate, just, you know, what's his role going to be? He was a scorer in junior. He really hadn't scored a lot in the American League. However, he had started to heat up before he got called up. Then he comes back up here. He's playing, you know, third line, fourth line-ish type minutes. And, you know, you just didn't really see what kind of a player he could be. And then the last couple of games, you're seeing what he can do. You're seeing his offensive abilities. You're seeing his speed. And obviously last game, you see how good he can shoot the puck. And Robert Thomas, even following last game, was complimenting Zach Bolduc and just, you know, how good he's playing and how fun it was to have him on his line. So you're seeing that. You're seeing Matthew Kessel continue to evolve as a defenseman. And, you know, Matthew Kessel's a guy that when he first came up, everybody talked about his defensive ability and things like that. I did a little digging on Matthew Kessel, and in college, he had 51 points in 100 games. Now, that doesn't sound all that impressive if you're looking for, like, big offensive numbers, but that's a point every other game. And that means he's got some offensive upside to him as well. And I think you're starting to see that he can jump up in the play and he can join and keep plays alive. And, of course, last game he scores his first NHL goal, which was great for him to be rewarded. So it's little things like that. You're starting to see players have the ability to perform the way they're supposed to perform, but now it's at an NHL level.
I want to go back to Kessel just for a moment, Jamie. I'm a Kessel fan, okay? I've been since day one. I watched him the first game that he played in, and I thought, okay, this guy's got something. He was, you know, facing some of the top lines and immediately thrown into that. He's mobile. He can shoot, which you mentioned. That gets overlooked. And he has a great ability to handle the rush. So my point is, where does he fit moving forward next season? Where do you see him potentially playing on what particular pairing or where he might be in that stacking order?
Tough to answer right now because I really don't know what this defensive core is going to look like next year. You know, like Doug Armstrong is going to try and make some moves. How aggressive does he get? You know, what players are involved? So it's tough. But well, I'll say this, Dan, is that right now, for the most part of this season, he's been playing in a top four role.
Exactly, yeah.
And like you mentioned, he came up and got thrown into the deep end immediately. And he's handled it very well. Now, have there been some bumps in the road? Well, yeah, there are bumps in the road for top four defensemen that have played in the league for 10 years. So, you know, and that goes with the territory. But I would see Matthew Kessel competing for a top four spot. If he's not in your top four, that means you've done something, and your top four looks pretty darn good. And that means I'm quite okay with him playing in my third pair.
Jamie Rivers with us on 101 ESPN. Overall, how do you like the fact that the Blues have, at the end of that road trip, switched to that young lineup so that we're getting the opportunity to, at least in quote-unquote meaningless games, see what these guys are physically capable of doing?
Yeah, I think it's necessary. You know, when you're in a retool of any kind or even a season that you'd like to have back, you have to see what you have on your roster or within your organization to let you know what work you have to do in the off season. And I think it's great. Give these guys an opportunity to play, increase their minutes. If they can handle it, then you know that the process of their development is moving along maybe a little faster than you thought, which is always, you know, a positive thing. And if they don't do well or it doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, then you also know that you've got work to do in that area and that maybe that player needs some more time to put the work in down at the American Hockey League level. Either way, it's the best way to find out exactly what you have in your organization. And at the time right now, when not that they're meaningless games, but where you're in a tough spot, we'll call it, now's the best time to give them a chance.
Jamie, you mentioned that you don't know what this defensive core will look like next season. What is one of the biggest challenges that you think that Doug Armstrong will face this offseason?
Making any kind of significant change. And the reason I say that is because it's always easy to bring up the guys who are the UFAs and just say, well, we'll let them walk. Yeah, that's easy. Last year was tough for that because Army had UFAs that he had to make trades on and some popular players that had to be moved on to other teams. This year, it may not be so difficult because some of those guys didn't play prominent roles within your organization. But to make a significant change for next year, like that means moving out one of the contracts that has got some term and lots of money attached to it. And also, a lot of these guys have the no trade clause attached to it. So for me, it's as I looked at it, if I was a GM, like, that's a lot of work to do. How do you do it? How do you move players? And then how do you get a player to accept a trade if he has a no-trade clause? And then what does it look like afterwards? Like, what if Doug Armstrong revisits the Torrey Krug situation? Now, he's already, you know, nobody's really talked about it. Well, Torrey Krug admitted to it, but Torrey Krug was asked to waive his no-trade clause last offseason. You know, what do you go back to that again and ask him? And then what? What does that do for your future when you go to sign free agents and you offer no trade clauses and they look back and go, hey, 2 years in, you were asking Torrey Krug to move to another team. I'm not going to St. Louis. I can't trust that you're going to honor the no trade clause. So I think for me, the Army's got a lot of work to do to make anything change as far as any significance to it, just because of the amount of guys that have years and lots of money on their deals.
Rivs, we'll be tuned in tonight, Blues and Blackhawks, and we're looking forward to that, and we'll be watching you and JK on Bally Sports.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Rivers with us on 101 ESPN.